Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. We got some scary news yesterday. Connecticut has a 6.1% positivity rate with coronavirus. But the good news is Connecticut has a 93.9% negativity rate.
We'll go with that one.
So we have a positivity rate.
Leave it that one.
Of 6.1%. A negativity rate.
Right.
93.9%, as AJ puts on his hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just kind of happened, like Pavlov's dog. I salivate. Yeah.
So we went from 1.1 to 2 to 4 to 6.
Yeah, so knock it off, people. Wear the friggin' mask and separate, for Christ's sake.
All right, here's Governor Lamont yesterday making the announcement.
First, let me cut right to the chase. These are the COVID daily numbers, and I look hard to find a silver lining, and I can't find it in these numbers, except perhaps the fact that we have done a lot of testing, over 150,000. But what you ought to see is with 1,300 new positive tests, that's a 6.1% positivity rate. That's the highest rate we've had since June 1st. Couple that with hospitalizations continuing to creep up and fatalities. There's no good news in those numbers.
You know, that last line, I feel like he took that from our interview. Remember, I was going through the numbers. I said, well, where are you testing? And if you test more, do you get more rates? And he said, no, no, no. And I said, well, I'm just looking for some good news in the numbers.
Right.
Mm. Uh-huh.
I think he was telling the media, don't ask me this anymore.
Right.
Is that where you got it from? Governor?
You got it.
Right, exactly.
Right. You're welcome.
At least he admits it.
So can you tell me when you think we'll open up the state?
I could tell you, then I'd have to kill you.
Oh, wow. Well.
That seems counterproductive.
I'll pass then.
Yeah. Literally a pass.
Doesn't it almost sound like it's the beginning of a horror movie, like a zombie movie? Because the mic has a little bit of a buzz in it.
Yeah, it does.
And the quality isn't really good.
Right.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find something here.
It's all about the quality.
Yeah, we need like a...
something spooky?
Yeah, something spooky. See. I wanted The Walking Dead, but I don't see it readily available.
Right.
Here, let me go with this one here.
First, let me cut right to the chase. These are the COVID daily numbers, and I look hard to find a silver lining, and I can't find it in these numbers, except perhaps the fact that we have done a lot of testing, over 150,000. But what you ought to see is with 1,300 new positive tests, that's a 6.1% positivity rate. That's the highest rate we've had since June 1st. Couple that with hospitalizations continuing to creep up and fatalities. There's no good news in those numbers.
Creepy. Yeah.
Now try with Mr. Independence Day. The president's speech.
You know what would change it? Do we have that flip, flop, flippity flop?
Oh, yes. See, that would be a nice positive spin. Flip, stop.
Let's make it happy.
It's always Friday. Yeah,
exactly right.
It should be happy.
That's right.
It should be happy.
Flip, flop, Friday.
We're all very happy.
Flip, flop.
It's all about the music you play underneath.
Exactly right.
It sets the mood.
It'll make folks happy.
Yeah. That's the mood. I gotta get that flip flop.
Play that floppy music, my boy.
Flip flop, flooba dooba bop, flooba dooba. First, let me cut right to the chase. These are the COVID daily.
Way better.
I look hard to find a silver lining, and I can't find it in these numbers, except perhaps the fact that we've done a lot of.
AJ loves this song.
Listen, Governor, if you want us to make to feel better about things,
right?
There you go.
It's only music selection.
Flip-flop song. One change.
I want to see the guy who does the hand signals doing the flip-flop part.
The doobity-wit-up.
You would need two people. You would need one person doing the governor, and the other person is doing the song.
Exactly.
Pilla, stay.
sleep.
Oh,
oh, hello.
Yeah, what'd you do for that? Pants came down.
Excuse me. I want to crank to my car.
Yeah, me too. Driving down the highway.
All right. As of yesterday, the following locations were listed in the state's red alert list.
Red alert.
Yeah, boy.
Red alert.
There are 30 of them.
Red alert. Red alert.
And some of these towns are being asked if they want, they can roll back to phase two.
Red so alert. Red alert.
Where's Getty Lee?
Where's Getty Lee?
Where's Getty Lee?
Where's Getty,
where's Getty,
Getty
Lee?
Red alert. Red alert.
All right, so AJ, I'm going to say the name of the city or town, and I want you to say the first word that comes to mind.
Okay.
Aunt Sonia.
The mayor.
That's two
words.
This
is going to be a long game.
Mayor.
The mayor.
Bridgeport.
Filthy.
Canterbury.
Rich.
Cromwell.
Not rich.
Danbury.
Mayor Mountain.
East Hartford.
Ellington. Bars.
Franklin.
Frankfurters.
Griswold.
Grizzly Steak.
Groton.
Smelly.
Hartford.
What?
Rich.
Killingly.
Things Die.
Lisbon.
Portugal.
Middlebury.
Sandwiches.
Middlefield.
Cupcakes.
Montville.
Horses.
New Britain.
Redcoats.
Horses?
New London.
The bridge is falling down.
North Canaan.
The Smoky Mountains.
You can't say you have to blurt something out.
It's too early for this goddamn game.
I love it.
Norwalk.
Fish.
Norwich.
Sandwiches.
Can't say Old Saybrook.
Farts.
Plainfield.
Balloons.
Stanford.
Rich folk.
Sprague.
Really?
Was that?
Sprague.
Eastern Europeans.
Waterford.
Water.
Waterbury.
War water.
Watertown.
Dirty water.
Windham.
Windmills.
Wilkett.
Sweaters.
Wow, that was awesome.
Flip, flap.
Flip it up. Flip it up. Flip it up.
Woo!
That was fun.
That's hurt my
brain. That's
the
most fun you're going to get getting a bad coronavirus report, okay?
Yeah. Flip, flop, flip, 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 flip.
Want to talk about Governor Cuomo, or you want to talk about women buying guns?
Ooh, Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Okay, so when she appeared on The View earlier this week, Chelsea Handler explained that she thought she had a date arranged with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, but he never called her.
When he came on the scene, you know, looking like this big Italian hunk, I was like, oh my, he's like, wear a mask. I'm like, I'll wear a mask. I'll put a mask on every part of my body. I want to flatten your curve and you can flatten my curve and then we can both apex together. I did have a conversation with Cuomo a few months ago and I did ask him out on a date and he did say yes. And then I never heard from him.
Okay. Yesterday on The View, Cuomo explained why he didn't call her.
I've had a lot of conversations about flattening the curve, but never quite that way.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Chelsea's, but on my dating life, you know, I am only dating at this point in-state residents.
Does anyone get annoyed the way he says L? Flattening.
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 In-state residents.
Gotta hit the L.
Flip, flop, flip it up.
Flip, flop. Oh, my God, he would choke to death that song.
He really would.
Flip, flop, 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 flop.
Well, he adds his syllables. It'd be flip, flop.
Flip, flop, flop.
Yeah.
Flippity, bitty, bip.
Okay.
You know, I am only dating at this point in-state residents, right? I'm dating New York residents. And
Jesus.
So if Chelsea changes her residence, then maybe we can work it out.
That's a no.
Yep.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Right.
Don't give the girl hope. Moved to New York for no reason.
Imagine if she moved to New York, got coronavirus, and died.
Right.
And he never dated her.
And he'll announce, you know,
guilty.
Never went on that date.
Flip, another casualty.
Jealousy. Oh.
John Travolta's on the phone. We're going to talk to him about Battlefield Earth. Ashley has to watch this movie that you're
in. Hey, what's going on, guys? Great to talk to you.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
Ashley hasn't seen it?
No.
No.
What?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to rent it on the Blu-ray at the Blockbuster.
You don't have that anymore.
No, every Blockbuster is now a Halloween USA store, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, there's only one Blockbuster left.
Right. Yeah. All those strip malls just changed.
They have.
What's your favorite scene in that movie?
You know, the one where I'm talking to the mayor of the city, you know, and I'm threatening to, like, destroy City Hall.
Right.
That was so crazy. And he was, like, so scared. You know, it's like I picked him up by his neck. Kind of like a Darth Vader move. That was what I was inspired by.
No, I don't. I didn't see the movie, but is that in the movie?
Oh, you didn't see it,
Phil?
No. Great scene. I have no idea.
I thought he was just making up a scene from another movie.
That's a great scene.
We had to go back and shoot that scene again because my costume there was like a bulge in my pants. It was very obvious. So we had to, you know, the costume designer had to do a little changing.
So Ashley's going to
alteration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ashley's
the pants
gonna...
were a little high dramatic. I'm a total VIP from another planet.
All right, well, those are some pretty good insights. Well,
Battlefield Fever, yes.
It's great. It's real heartwarming at the end too.
Right. That would be great to combine.
My dog.
Yeah, you win the dance
at the end. I find my dog.
Right, you win the dance contest
because I lost him when we landed on Earth.
But that other team should have won instead of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing, you know, it's a battlefield, so it's dangerous. And I was worried about the dog the whole movie. And then at the end, it's like, oh, I find him, my lucky.
And then you have a Royale with cheese.
Exactly.
And a Royale with hamburger. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, John Travolta.
All right, guys. Chaz and AJ, you got to see this movie too. Are you going to watch it with Ashley, or what are you going to do?
I'm going to read about it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You guys ever socialize outside the show?
Yeah, we go shooting together.
We do. Yes, we shoot things. We shoot.
AJ brings targets of Phil.
Exactly.
There you go.
We go goose hunting.
I've heard Phil likes to visit the gym at 3 a.m. He should come meet me sometime.
Right.
Sure.
Grease lightning, guys.
Michael Poggi runs a sanctuary for rare and endangered animals in his backyard in Florida.
Where else would you do it?
He offered Dwight Turner a full contact experience with a black leopard for $150.
Nice. Yeah, kitty.
When Turner entered the leopard's cage, it attacked.
Of course it did.
Yes. What they do.
It's a leopard.
It's 300 to get out.
Do we have the short version of the report?
Yeah, this is the short version.
Here we are.
Investigators say Poggi charged 50-year-old Dwight Turner $150 for a, quote, full contact experience with his black leopard to, quote, play with it, rub its belly, and take pictures. Once the man walked inside the enclosure, the leopard attacked. The injuries so severe, the report says the man's scalp was, quote, hanging from his head, and his right ear was torn in half.
Well, he wanted full contact.
He got what he paid for.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Huh?
Can't hear ya.
My ear's hanging off.
How do you feel,
sir? Scalp.
Man.
How's my hair look?
Well, it's over here.
It's on your shoulder.
Yeah, you can see it yourself.
Take a look. Just go really
look
quick.
To your left and down.
It's now your beard.
Wow.
Yep.
Jesus.
Maybe Kitty needed a nap.
I want to know so much more.
Right. Yeah, Kitty.
I want pictures. You know there's a video.
There has to be, but they're probably holding it for
you
evidence.
You spent $150.
Right.
On the full contact experience,
right.
You're like, oh, let's record it because I want pictures of me snuggling.
Well, apparently the cat ate the phone. You'll get the phone back in eight hours from now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. iPhone, now your phone.
Trying to look on Twitter to see if there's a video like with more information, but...
Maybe take a TikTok.
This seems to be more common than I thought.
Oh, really?
Carol Baskin from Tiger King is going to be on at around 9:10. I'm sure she has heard of this place.
Right.
They all know one another.
Right. Yeah, both in Florida.
She probably runs it.
I want to know more about this guy, who paid the $150.
Who's Scout Boy?
Yeah.
Dwight Turner.
Right. Dwight, not bright. Dwight's not too bright.
Not bright Turner. Yeah.
Dimwit Dwight.
What were you really thinking?
Right. I want to pet the kitty and I want to rub its belly.
Why did you need to do this
just
now?
Just go to a shelter and find a kitten.
Aww.
Just rub the kitten's belly. It'll be fine. Big kitty, no like.
No, big kitty, no right. like.
I wonder how long it took, too. I'm thinking a second.
Yeah, immediately.
But as soon as that door went ka-dunk behind
this
him.
This wasn't Hurrah! 5 minutes. Oh, this is
right.
great.
Right.
We're right at the end of the time.
Right.
And then...
I'm sure the cat first gave him that look that, you've entered my domain.
Then, right, exactly. How dare you come into my realm.
They give it that indignant look first, like, you a-hole, what are you doing here? This is my spot. And then...
The cat Wah! Probably thought, gee, that's weird. I've never had my food walk right to me.
Right. How convenient.
They usually throw it in.
Oh, Uber Dash is here.
You have entered with no yarn. Right. You must die now.
Yeah.
What do we have, Phil?
Sit close to kill.
So I found a 2-minute report from a website. It looks like in Florida, I'm assuming, but I have to play it right from the website, so I don't know how the pausing and
we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
We saw exclusively first right here on 10, a man mauled by a black leopard behind a Davy home.
He had just paid to have contact with the animal. Local 10 News reporter Syra Anwar is live in Fort Lauderdale outside the victim's attorney's office. Syra.
Yeah, and I just spoke to his attorney. He said his victim the victim in this attack spent a week in the emergency room. He says when he has signed up for this one-on-one
hold on a second.
A week in the emergency room?
You're not in the emergency room for a week. You're in a hospital for a week.
Well, maybe to be seen.
You're in the emergency room maybe for hours.
It is Florida.
And you get admitted.
It is Florida, though.
Right. That is true.
Yeah.
And she's already screwed up parts of this report.
Right. True.
This is why they're on a major network.
Right.
Okay.
The leopard, an attack, was not part of that plan.
You know what's funny?
Photo.
Hold on, I'm sorry. It didn't become a news story until he got a lawyer.
Right.
Like, we're outside the hospital.
A week later.
We're outside the hospital
right.
where a man was mauled by a... No. Oh, he got a lawyer.
Oh, he didn't lawyer it up.
All right, send out the crew.
All right.
Show a victim's bandaged head and ear after he was mauled by a black
is there a picture?
Detectives with the Florida
is there a picture of him?
I'm hearing some
with the bandaged
from
head?
The back. Yeah, you can't see his face.
What's that?
Well, maybe it is his face.
What's that tussling sound I'm hearing?
This is the. It looks like the leopard or another black leopard that's playing around with a camera.
Oh,
that's yes. cute.
Is it his camera?
Yeah.
No, I'm assuming this is an earlier video.
He's over in the corner, just a bloody pile of meat.
Right. He's looking at himself as a guy.
Conservation Commission say this bloody attack happened in an enclosure behind British. This Davy home on Ernest Boulevard August 31st. The man who lives here, Michael Podgy, has a Facebook page saying he runs a sanctuary for rare and endangered animals. This video shows Podgy petting a black leopard on a kitchen counter.
Good
this
sure.
is how these folks...
It's just in his kitchen.
Right. It's okay. It's a deaf, of course. It's a deaf leopard.
This is how these folks get away with this stuff. They're saving the animals. It's an animal rescue.
Rescue.
Okay.
Quote.
But when you get an image in your mind, when you hear those words, that's not what this is.
No.
Right.
This is a guy with a house and his backyard is just full of animals. That's
right.
it.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
When your bathtub is a litter box, you got a problem.
Mm. All right. So what are they showing on the screen right now?
So the leopard is on its side. Just on, like, the center island of a kitchen counter. Doing belly.
Like most
it's
kitties.
Like the lion in the circus on the box.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's waiting for the guy to hold the hula hoop.
Right. She decided to
jump
toys.
Through.
I'll tell you right now, though, it is a beautiful animal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're looking at it, you're like, wow.
That's gorgeous.
That, like, you've never, like, if you walked in and just saw it, you'd be like, oh, my God.
Right. Before you start screaming.
But when it's...
Is it a nice kitchen or a hillbilly kitchen?
No, it's a nice looking kitchen.
Oh,
man. I would love a still of the leopard's face the second the guy's walking in.
Right before
you know
time.
when you see something you don't normally see and you're like, huh.
Right.
What's going on here?
Right. You know, it's thinking.
This can't really be happening.
Ooh, fleshy. I must murder
a new toy.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. This looks like a fun toy.
Yeah. DoorDash.
It's even better than the string with the feather on the end.
Oh, my order's here.
Another video shows him inside the leopard enclosure playing with what he explains is a female leopard. Investigators say Podgy charged 50-year-old Dwight Turner, seen here, $150 for a, quote, full contact experience.
Which one do you see, the one in the bandages or the other one?
It looks like both, but again, the guy's photographed from behind, so you can't really see what his face looks like, though he is bald. Right. So if he got mauled on his face, there was no padding there to stop it going right to his scalp.
Yeah, well, they said in the beginning of the report that his scalp was hanging down. Right. So that to me is the leopard grabbing the top of his head, because they like to do that. They'll grab the top of your head or your neck.
Trying to palm like a basketball. Yeah.
Right.
I'm bouncy right now. Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Bouncy, bouncy.
You want to go out? Bouncy, bouncy.
Bird to, quote, play with it, rub its belly, and take pictures. FWC's report says once the man walked inside the enclosure, the leopard attacked. The injury so severe, the report says the man's scalp was, quote, hanging from his head, and his right ear was torn in half.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Podgy.
Authorities say Podgy, seen here in a YouTube video trying to sell little monkeys, was charged for allowing...
This guy.
He's holding a bunch of them.
Can
he's got like four
one?
Or five different monkeys.
Monkeys are us, yes.
What the hell, Florida? What the hell? You know, congratulations.
Yep.
Just when I think there's nothing that could happen there that'll surprise me.
You want more hillbilly. You done turn up the hillbilly volume.
Yeah. Tony Spira is on, psychic researcher and son-in-law of the Warrens, the world's most famous ghost hunters. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. First, Tony, let's start with this rumor that the Annabelle doll escaped. And I believe there's a video on your YouTube page about this, 2.2 million views, so obviously... people are interested in it.
Hi, Chaz.
Hey, good morning.
And happy Halloween to everybody out there.
Thank you.
Yeah, the rumor started, Chaz, pretty innocently, actually. It just shows you how the media can explode on things like that. What happened was Annabelle Wallace, the actress who was in the first Annabelle movie, she was doing an upcoming, she was doing an interview with media regarding an upcoming movie with Tom Cruise. And they were asking her questions about what it was like to work with Tom. And she was saying, oh, he does all his own stunts, you know, and he runs every morning, he jogs. She goes, and I had the opportunity to go even run with him and, you know, take a jog. So it was in the interview that way. And media, Chinese media picked it up. But in a Chinese translation, Annabelle Runs, was translated into Annabelle Escapes.
Oh.
And somehow that snowballed into the Annabelle doll escape from the museum. And it was all over the place. And I was getting numerous emails and calls and people all upset thinking the doll was out there causing havoc. So I did a YouTube video on the official Ed Lorraine Warren YouTube channel, you know, showing that the doll was still safely secured in its case.
No broken glass, little rope ladder coming down, things like that. Right? No waiting car outside, a Barbie Jeep, and off it went. Right.
No, none of that.
Okay, cool.
None of that.
Just double checking.
Yeah, if you see a little Barbie Jeep and a doll going down 110
right.
in Monroe.
Right, hit it.
So this Annabelle doll that's world famous,
right?
Movies made about it.
Right.
It's in Monroe, Connecticut right now?
Yeah, it's in the... it's in the occult museum, but the museum, of course, has been closed for several years now, and it's going to remain that way. And
how come?
It's highly secured. Well, we've had some zoning issues happened, and it's not really in a commercial zoned area. So the town came down on me and said, you know, keep it closed, don't open it. And of course, you know, I'm going to abide by them. So I'm keeping it closed until I can find the proper, maybe different location. In a commercially zoned area to open it, because people are very interested to see the doll in person.
Right.
And I can show it on a video and stuff, but people always want to eyeball it themselves or stand next to the case or whatever. You know
I would
mean?
Not want to.
Yep. Yeah, no holding it in a selfie.
I don't even, like, I don't even want to drive by the house.
You want to hold it? Oh, no. Hell no.
Yeah. I don't blame you for that because it is a dangerous artifact, you know, one that you don't want to just take lightly. But it is something that's very intriguing to people who are interested in the occult. You know,
right.
it's something that's the icon of infamous.
It is.
You know,
that's right. A good way to put it. It's the icon.
It's also bendable and possible.
Of all like creepy, haunted, possessed items.
Right.
That's it.
What kind of accessories would it have?
What was that?
What kind of accessories would it have? You know.
Yeah.
Little purse.
Right.
Yeah, it's got a little bracelet on it. It actually does have a little gold bracelet that the nurses put on it when they received it back in 1970. You know, they treated it like a regular doll, like a regular person, because the nurse who accepted it, about 28 years old, from her mother as a gift, and her mother was unknowingly giving her that, thinking it was just an innocent doll. The nurses just wanted to play around like it was like all even young girls do, like, you know, I'm going to dress it up, I'm going to put a bracelet on it, and she would carry it to the breakfast nook in the morning, her and her colleague, the other nurse that worked at Harford Hospital. And they just treated it like a regular doll, like a regular thing, until one day that they came home and found that the doll was in a different location than when they left it. And the legs were not crossed like they were on the couch. She had the doll with the legs crossed on the couch. She comes home, the doll's legs are uncrossed. Next day she comes home, the doll's in the bedroom instead of on the couch. They thought it was the superintendent or the manager of the apartment building playing tricks on the young nurses. And so they set it up to check it by putting tape on the bottom of their entry door and things.
Yeah.
They come home, the doll still moved. So they felt a little creeped out about that. But what really creeped them out the most, though, Chaz, was when the fiancé of the nurse, Donna, Lou, was sleeping on the couch, and the doll was on the end of the couch. He woke up with a start saying, oh, man, I just had a bad nightmare. And Donna says, what's the matter, Lou? You're sweating and everything. He's like, man, I just had a crazy nightmare. That doll there, and he points at it, that doll there was crawling up my leg and tried to strangle me to death. And he's all sweaty and like just like his heart's beating fast. She goes, calm down, Lou. Take it easy. So he runs over, as any young guy would do. He's about 28 years old. Grabs the doll off the couch, throws it across the room, and says, that's just a Raggedy Ann doll. That can't hurt anybody.
Uh-oh.
And when he did that is when 7 psychic wounds appeared on his chest and on his stomach. There was four slash marks on his chest, 3 on his stomach, where you can actually see blood coming through the T-shirt. And that's what freaked all of them out. They said, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
There'd also be another stain.
There's something bad in that doll.
So, be in the pants.
That's when
in
they called Ed and Lorraine over and a priest to come over and take care of it, which they did. They exorcised they did exorcisms over the girls, over the house. They exorcised the apartment building. And then the girl said, well, we don't want this thing. What do we do with it, Mr. Warren? He said, I'll take it back to my museum. And that's exactly what he did. He took it back.
Maybe like Kilton Bradley.
Okay,
yeah.
If he successfully performed the exorcism on this doll.
Yeah, it was the priest.
The priest
became a Catholic priest. Because, you have to be very knowledgeable in the rites of exorcism. You know, there's exorcism rites for expelling demons and devils out of people. There's also rites to exorcise devils and demons out of a location. So, and that's what they did. They exorcised the location, more like a deliverance prayer than anything else. But the doll still had evil within, as we found out later when it went to the museum, some of the things that had happened to people who have basically challenged the doll when they were there. Ed would give these small tours of the museum to college kids. And one day, he had about 12 kids there, about 20 years old. So one of the kids came on a motorcycle with his girlfriend, and Ed was talking about the doll and in a glass case, and Ed got to the portion of the story where I told you about the slash marks on the fiancé. As soon as Ed said that, well, there were 7 slash marks, the kid runs up to the case, starts banging on the case, saying, this is a bunch of bull.
Mistake.
If that doll can put slashes on anybody, do it to me right now. He challenged the doll.
Bad move.
He challenged the evil. And Ed says, hey, you and your girlfriend, take off. Get out of here. I can't have that in my museum. And the young man got on a motorcycle with his girlfriend. Unfortunately, though, he never made it to his destination. We found out what happened. He was killed instantly when he went head on into a tree. We know what happened because his girlfriend didn't die. She was in a hospital for a long time. But she said, when questioned, she said the last thing that she remembered was they were laughing and joking about the doll on the motorcycle when the kid lost control and went into a tree. Now, was it the doll that did this? I don't know. But why would you challenge? Why would you challenge something like that when you're told that there's evil there and don't challenge that because things can happen? It doesn't have to happen at the moment you challenge it. See, that's the thing most people don't understand.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll just be over here and I'll drive by.
My name's Karma. I've been good. Yeah. Right.
I have to tell you, that Annabelle movie, so well done, and The Conjuring, so well done, and it's just appropriate that the Warrens, world most famous ghost hunters and from Connecticut, had such great movies made in their honor based on their cases.
Right.
So Tony Spear
is Conjuring 3 is coming out in June. So.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. Tony, tell us what we're going to hear.
All right, Chaz. This is a case that my team and I went on in 2013 in New Haven with a young man, about 21 years old. And he was very religious, went to church, prayed a lot, was very, very spiritual. And then one day, his mother noticed that he was changing, that he was starting to have an aversion towards anything religious, didn't want to go to church, didn't want to pray. In fact, he didn't want to come out of his room. So he was once outgoing, all of a sudden he's in his room under the covers. She'd come in and say, come on, let's go eat. Let's have lunch, have dinner. And he'd just, nope, he'd be under the covers. He wouldn't move, wouldn't talk. And she had to bring his food into the room. The only time he ever left the room was to go to the bathroom. She became very concerned at his actions and some of the things he was doing, and how sometimes he would, you know, grumble and make noises and just say funny things. So she called Lorraine and I in, and a priest, and part of my team came in. And we went to the house and spoke to him in his bedroom. In fact, he was under the covers when we got there. This is about 2 in the afternoon. She said, he's like this all the time. He never leaves. He just stays under there. So finally, we coaxed him out from under the covers and started to speak to him. We had the priest there with holy water and of course, his prayer book. And Lorraine and I, and I had a crucifix on me, a large one, and I was holding it in front of me and talking to him. We were trying to determine if he was influenced by something maybe demonic. As it turns out, I think it was because of his reactions to our prayers and to our showing of the artifacts, the religious artifacts to him. And we had to do a deliverance prayer over him with a priest. At one point, in fact, Chaz, we had to hold him down.
Yeah,
but you'll hear,
just like
you'll
the movie.
Hear part of the, you'll hear part of this
All right,
this,
here
this
it
thing.
Is. I leave right now. In the name of Jesus Christ and all his holy and good, we command you to leave right now. We command you and all the angels and all the saints. We command you to leave this entity right now. It's not I that command you. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Almighty Savior, commands you to leave. Leave this person now. Leave this person now. All of you, right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, and all that's holy, and the Virgin Mary, and all the saints, and all the angels, and Saint Michael the Archangel. Saint Michael the Archangel commands you to leave right now.
Yipes.
Well, Ashley is completely freaked out.
Yeah, I had chills.
It's like a tea kettle.
It did.
Well, you know, that's part of the vocalizations that you're going to hear from someone who's either possessed
or
has an attachment to them from a demonic entity, you know.
We got to
have
you
back. Demonic possession is very real. Influencing of the devil is very real.
That is so scary. I have to take a break here. There's two other clips, and maybe we can have you on Monday, Tuesday. It's never too late to hear these clips.
No,
right?
Never.
Tony, we're linked up to your YouTube page on WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Tony Spira, son-in-law of the Warrens. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, my man. Hey, you guys have a great day and have a happy Halloween.
You too.
Thank you so much,
Tony.
We'll talk to you next week. Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue and Tiger King on the show. Carol, how are you?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens in New Haven, Connecticut.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I want to ask you about the Tiger King. Did you feel like they portrayed you correctly?
Absolutely not. You know, we worked with them for 5 years on what they told us was a show called Stolen Wildlife that was going to be all about how exotic animals are mistreated in the industry and how that is causing the extinction of these animals in the wild. And so that's our mission, and we were thrilled to work on it. So just like everybody else around the world, we sat down and binge-watched it, because when we saw that the name was Tiger King, they had told us Joe Exotic might be like a five-minute segment in this, but that he was no bigger player than any of the other bad guys.
Well, you know what?
And
it's very
it turned out to be the freak show that everybody saw.
In their defense, it may have started out one way, and then they talked to him and said, okay, all right.
This is the show right here.
This is the show.
Right.
All right, a lot has been said about your husband disappearing and possibly killed. Did you have anything to do with that?
I think there's absolutely as much evidence that you did as there is that I did.
The timeline that they showed on the show where the night he disappeared, you ran out of gas, your brother's a cop, his partner drives you back. Was all of that correct?
No, it wasn't. They had said that I had gone to the store at 3 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't. I had fed the kittens their last meal right before 11 and then went to the store. My car broke down. I tried to call home, couldn't get anybody at home. So I started walking home, but that's like 6 miles. So I was walking for a long time. And I saw police lights. My brother was a cop. I saw the police car lights and was looking down the road at where these lights were happening. And then I heard my brother's voice over the megaphone calling out to the criminal, you know, like stop thief or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, my brother's involved in that. So I went down to see what was going on because he's my baby brother. And I'm kind of one of those protector type people. And when I got down there, he had to take the criminal to jail. But there were other police there, and so he asked one of his friends if they'd drive me home. So there was absolutely nothing nefarious about that entire ordeal, but that was just one thing in Tiger King that was misportrayed to make people think one thing when the truth was something totally different.
They made you a very unlikable character.
Villainous, yes.
Right. One more thing on that.
I think the reason they did that was because they wanted it to be a feud, and that was the show that they had sold. And so because Joe was saying nasty things about me and they couldn't make me say anything nasty about him, then what they had to do was paint me as somebody who drove him to that kind of madness.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I think you were saying nasty things about him. I think everybody was. It was a feud that I couldn't believe.
You watch it again. I don't say anything personal about him. I talk about the industry. I talk about how the Cubs are abused and how they end up being killed, but I don't say anything nasty about him.
You know, it's been a while. It seems to me you're on a mission to destroy him.
No, I am on a mission to save big cats from extinction in the wild.
Gotcha.
And the way that we do that is we stop the private possession of them. And the biggest thing is to stop the cub petting, because those cubs can only be used until they're about 12 weeks old. Then they have to either kill them or they might raise them for a couple of years and then sell them for their skins and their teeth and their claws. And that puts so many of these animals into the black market that it stimulates the demand for them.
Carol Baskin is on
the wild
from Tiger King. I have one more question about your husband, and then we can move on here. That fake will part of the Tiger King. How accurate was that?
It wasn't fake. And anybody who does any research can go to bigcatrescue.org/Netflix. And you will see that the will, the power of attorney, and the trust were all examined by three different professional expert handwriting firms who gave their written testimony that is in the court file saying that that was Don's signature.
All right. We'd love to have you back on when we have more time. And we're linked up to all things Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue on our radio station website. What's next for you?
I'm so excited about what's next because we're working with Think Factory and they are doing a show that is what we've been doing for the last 20 years, which is going after all of these bad guys, bringing to light the things that are happening behind closed doors because the public does not know. And if the public knew, they would never pay to have their picture made for the Cub. And that will end all of that exploitation of cats.
That's great. So you're doing good stuff.
Excellent.
Did you see
exactly what we've been doing?
Carol, did you see that story of the guy who had the leopard in Florida who gave a guy to have a personal experience with it?
Full contact.
For 150. The guy got his skull ripped off. Yeah.
And I have this radio tour with you guys today, and then the rest of my day is going to be spent going to USDA and to the Florida Wildlife Commission saying, you guys have got to stop this. This is just crazy. This kind of thing should never happen.
Gotcha. Well, good for you. All right, Carol, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the phone quality sucked.
Yeah.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
She had an answer for everything.
On everything.
Well, she had an answer for everything, though.
Yeah, I do know that they can edit stuff down, and clearly she thought she was going to be in some other kind of show.
Right. But they edit it down and make you look totally different.
Yeah.
Yep.
So who did it? I didn't want to. Yeah, well, come on.
So
I think we know who did it.
I'm sorry.
The night he disappears.
Yeah.
She breaks down in the middle of the night, conveniently.
Yeah.
And then she's walking along and conveniently comes upon her brother.
Right.
Who's busy, but partner can drive her home.
Right.
He takes the truck. What do you think's in the back of the truck?
Tiger food?
She had a check on him. She's a protector.
Right.
Yeah, it was tiger food, all right.
Yep.
Named hubby.
Exactly.
Phil?
I got a message from a tribe member during that portion of her interview. Oh, she's lying through her teeth. Yeah. She just happened to break down, and she couldn't call anybody else to come and get her.
Right.
And then he goes, oh, she fed the kittens their last meal of the night, all right.
Can I ask you something? If you break down, why wouldn't you call your husband?
Right.
But she couldn't. He was dead.
He was in the back of the truck.
She went, dear, let's go a little awkward right now.
Yeah, damn it.
A little awkward.
You're no good to me right now.
Oh, great.
Well, that's not an option.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Right.
That sounded like a recording.
They said it twice, Exactly the same.
But she was saying that on the show. Right?
Yeah.
Time now for Boss Keith's Top 5.
So I don't know if everybody remembers, but in January, when it turned to 2020, we were all fired up about certain things happening on certain days of the year. Mm-hmm. 2020 was going to be the best. Cinco de Mayo was on. Taco Tuesday was one. And then Halloween was on a Saturday. This was going to be the greatest Halloween ever. And sadly, it's not going to be any of those things. We are having a Halloween in hell. So here are the top 5 things that are going to suck about Halloween tomorrow. Number 5, there are a lot of guidelines out there, and I have no idea what is real and what isn't. So what I heard yesterday is we're supposed to wash all the candy. Now, is that true? Or is that misinformation?
What are you, a raccoon?
You're supposed to take the candy, and then you're supposed to wash it all with Clorox wipes.
With the wrapper on?
With the wrapper on.
I was going to say,
But I don't know if that's true. And there's no scenario where I'm going to be able to get at the candy before my fourth grader is eating the candy while trick-or-treating. I mean, am I going to walk around with Clorox wipes?
The weirdest part
about this is that you're bringing your kids out during a 100-year pandemic.
No.
Well, it's funny. The school principal emailed this morning and said, like, don't go trick-or-treating. And I'm like, oh.
It's so easy. Just get a spray bottle of Clorox. Just spray the candy down. You're done.
So she grabs it. I spray it. We put it in the bag.
Just spray it in the bag. Then shake it up a couple times. And
that, doesn't,
good to go.
That doesn't seem right. That seems like I'm getting an email that we're spreading wrong stuff.
It's like, what are you, washing coins?
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Got to get out there when it's 6.1% infection.
Did you check that, Phil? Are you fact-checking that?
Yeah, I need this information. So do everybody needs it, who are taking their kids out, which I guess they shouldn't do.
There's like 4 people.
Fauci just said it's like very, very unlikely to get it through like a surface or touch.
That's right, I did say that. I said that. That's right.
Is he calling himself is he being Dr. Fauci?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, and what you do is you eat the candy and take a swig of Clorox afterwards. Okay. That'll be fine.
You should work on that. You should workshop that this weekend.
Wow.
Do that a little.
Yeah, I can't do it on Saturday except somebody took a shift.
Number 4. You can't have Halloween parties because the fear is you become one of the super spreader events in the town. So the last thing I want to do is have a Halloween party and then on Monday be like, Keith Dakin's party of 17 people infected the whole goddamn town.
Oh, we would do that for the entire show.
Dumbass news.
And it shuts down the schools. But like, that's what will happen. If you read some of these stories, it's like Fairfield University had a party at blah, blah, blah's house and 35 people got infected. Like, I can't.
You make the news.
Right. I don't want to make the news except for like fun things. Like, I don't.
And you wouldn't know this weekend. You would know
2 weeks.
A week after you infected all of us.
Right.
Here,
the town.
Only, the town, but you'd shut down six radio stations.
Yeah, we'd have the PLR wing in the hospital.
Number three, you know, nobody gets to look hot. Halloween is the hot's holiday. Think about it. Valentine's Day is couples. Thanksgiving is family. St. Patrick's Day is drunks. Halloween is built for hots. If you're hot, this is your celebration. You dress hot, you have fireball, and then we have the best time. But nope. Just 6 feet apart, masks. Cool.
You can still wear your little lingerie outfit. Just put a mask on.
You're like in your house.
That's
like,
all right.
Where's the fun? Remember, with this monster ball event that we did for 100 years here, like, I mean, there was a lot of hots. Like,
it's,
no hots.
Look, it's not.
<there's>, so upset.
Oh, I love hots on Halloween.
Look, I love Jennifer. He has lingerie, Jennifer's a smoke show. But when you go to the monster's ball and you're looking around.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is great.
Right. Halloween, built for hots and totally ruined. Yeah. Number two, none of the rules make sense to the children. So my fourth grader, again. We're talking about how we're going to trick or treat tomorrow. 6.1% infection rate. Just a reminder.
Great news.
We got to get out there. Let's touch everything. She's like, but Dad, my costume is a mask. Why do I have to wear a mask? Well, it's not the right kind of mask, but it's a mask. All right. Well, I don't know. But I don't have to wear gloves. My costume has gloves. Well, they're not the right kind of gloves. But Dad, it's Halloween. Like, I don't make the rules. Like, I don't know. I don't want to argue about this. You want to trick or treat. We're going to bend the rules so you trick or treat so we all get infected and shut down these radio stations. But, like, either way, you know, like, you're wearing your goddamn mask.
The right amount of children's Tylenol to wake up Sunday.
Right.
You get the feeling.
Oh, then
the
they can hear your show.
Exactly right.
The kids are the calm adults in this relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the number one reason that Halloween is going to suck this year, I kind of teased it at the beginning here. We don't get Halloween on a weekend night until 2025. Think about that. The next weekend Halloween, Friday night Halloween, will be 2025. So now it's like Monday Halloween, which, by the way, sucks because the kids got to go to school and it's like late. Yeah. And then I start worrying about the time, like all of it. Hate it. I'm so mad about everything, but I'm. This is a new thing that I'm mad about.
At least no one took away your Saturday shift.
Right. At least I get to play Children of the Damned.
Yeah, and I get to have Tourette's on the air.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.